This is a Pinball News production.
Hello, and thank you for coming today. This is Don Caldwell.
And this fine gentleman here is Mark Bakula.
You can see that Rob doesn't even stick around to introduce us, so.
Let's trash the place. Yeah.
So Don wants to tell you a real quick little story of what happened to him yesterday.
Oh yeah, gentlemen, everybody 50 years and older? Everybody who's had a colonoscopy? All right, I had my first one yesterday. And the funny thing was, I got home, I was fine, went to bed, flossing my teeth, and one of my gold crowns popped off. I did not think the thing was that long. Oh well.
Did you get the guy's number, Don?
No, he was wearing a mask, of course.
So we're going to have a little presentation. We're going to be talking about behind the games. We're going to do some videos at the end. And then right after that, we're going to do a trivia. And we've got a whole slew of items over there. And we're going to thank Stern. They donated some items. Don's donated. I've donated some items. And
not
we're going
giveaways. They're winaways.
Winaways. You'll have to win them with the trivia. Jim is walking around with tickets right now, so if you see somebody come in that sits next to you and doesn't get a ticket, make sure they get one.
Make sure everybody gets a ticket.
There's quite a few things to give away right there, okay?
And we're not bringing any of that crap back to our basements.
So our talk today is called Behind the Games.
Wait, first I got to get a picture of these people.
Okay.
Everybody say pinball.
Pinball.
Oh, that wasn't... New camera. One more time. All right, and this side. All right.
So how many have been to our talks before? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And the rest of you didn't get a warning. Well, that's too bad.
Let's grab the clicker down.
Okay.
Okay, so the talk today is behind the games.
Here's what we found behind the games. Dust bunnies, mold play fields, cobwebs, bugs. But seriously, folks, a long, long time ago, two pinheads set out to write a pinball book. And this is their semi-tragic story.
Okay. So, being engineers, what are the first thing we always do is we give you the agenda of the talk. And so we're going to talk about in the beginning, we're going to talk about the book initially, then why do we do it? We're going to talk about a website, how far do we get with it, now what... And it follows up what happens next, what do we hope to accomplish, and how do we get there, and then there'll be the trivia. Okay. So, let's write a book.
And let's make this book different from other pinball books.
Okay. So, let's ask people what they want. So, let's ask the pinball community out there, what do you want in a book? Let's ask the people what their best games are, what their favorite games are. Let's ask them to tell them about themselves. And we'll do it with a web, we want to do it worldwide.
Well, how in heck are we going to do that? Well, this modern technology called the internets or interwebs, they had these websites. And so we, of course, had no chance of actually constructing a website. We are completely incompetent. We can rebuild the carburetors in a car, okay, but I cannot update a website under any circumstances. But we got a lot of help from people who helped us build the website.
And we had somebody come in from, obviously from Nebraska, who actually had an experience of building a website that actually took surveys. And so he built the survey up. And this was the front page going into the survey. We required you to register, get in there. And we did this in 2005. I don't know, some of you might have jumped in there. You're probably saying, you know, those guys never told us what the results of those surveys were. Well, today you're going to find out.
Survey says, all the games from the 1990s you got to pick from. This is every game from all the manufacturers in the 1990s.
I know you can't read it. It's about 137 games.
You don't have to. You own them all. Okay, so we asked, besides getting some demographic data, we also got, vote for your top 10 overall, a licensed theme, best looking, best playing, best toys, technical innovations, and least loved pins.
So the demographics, as you can see, I don't know if you can see it up there, but we did it by states and we did it by countries. We had 157 people in Europe, as an example. We had one person in Africa, you can see, and then we went by states, with Wisconsin with 15, where Don and I are from.
Go Badgers.
Yep, and then we looked at 21 for Lake Michigan, and Illinois had 36, not surprising. California had 35, one from Asia. So that was basically the demographics.
But what did we find about your typical pinballer? If you put it all together, you're going to find out that this person is overwhelmingly male, is 30 to 40 years old. They are very into it and own a few games. They play just about every day. They have some technical ability to work on their own games. And they own somewhere between 6 and 10 games on average. And their location is they're basement dwellers. They do not go out and support the industry. They're playing at home. So we got lots and lots of data.
So we crunched the data, and for the first time ever, we're going to show you. This was the rating.
Now, the question we were asked more than any other.
And you have to understand, this was done in 2005 for just the games manufactured between 1990 and 1999. And all the manufacturers in here, all 137 games. And as you can probably see, the first the top-rated game was Medieval Madness, Twilight Zone, Attack from Mars, Addams Family, Theater of Magic, Indiana Jones, Circus Voltaire, Creature, Star Trek, Monster Bash, Funhouse, Scared Stiff. You get you can probably get the idea of what's going on. So,
the best playing game, people again coming in for Medieval Madness. We'll leave this up a second so you can take a look and see where your favorite thing is. And of course, feel free to get upset and disagree, but don't get violent. Best looking game, Mr. Papaduke will be happy to know that Circus Voltaire
the
was
green
voted
game.
The green game, the legendary green game of success, actually came out number one. Best toys,
not surprising, Twilight Zone. Especially after Williams paid, I don't know if anybody knows this, they put $25,000 into plastic tooling for Twilight Zone, which was a huge amount of money to do on a pinball game back then. And if you remember, they had to even have to go to a semi-wide game on Twilight Zone. That was the first semi-wide game, so they could fit all the toys on it.
Okay, now we know what to write about, but we don't know anything about what happened. What happened in those engineering offices? What happened in the plants when they went to build these games? Well, very simple. Find the people who created them and ask them.
So we decided to interview these people, and we're, being engineers, we try to be most efficient or lazy as possible. So we decided to not take any notes. So we bought a camera, bought some lights, decided we'd have to travel, over the Chicago area. And we'll do interviews in people's houses for the most part. And so who did we interview for the book? Well, we interviewed,
you might recognize some of these names.
Yeah, Larry DeMar and Steve Kordek and Roger Sharp. Is Roger here?
Roger. No,
he remembers. Real quick little story. Roger is our longest interviewee. He did it for 3 hours and 15 minutes. And we ran
Man's
out.
Man's stamina is incredible.
Yes, and we actually ran out of tape, or else it would have been there longer, probably.
Well, we told them we ran out of tape.
And that was just for game plan, that's right. That's as far as we got.
And then next year.
So we. Oh, I'm going to go back.
Going back.
And a few other people, Ted Estes, you might know some of these people, Mark Ritchie, Steve Ritchie, Brian Eddy, Greg Ferris, George Gomez, John Papaduke, Cameron Silver, John Yusey. We got the whole Capcom team together for a barbecue at Mark Ritchie's house, and they did a nice long interview. You won't see that complete because there are things in there that they want to cut out. There were some hard feelings at some time in the past. I don't know if that's gone yet, but... and then we also went down and visited Gene Cunningham. He's got a very interesting collection, plus at that particular time he was... basically the only person in town that had the majority of the Williams components and patents.
Well, sadly, we lost our way. What happened? Why? How far did we... Whoops. How far did we get? And what do we want to do now? Why are we here? Where are we?
Did you skip two, or did you go?
Let's see. Ah, here's what happened. Sorry about that. Very sensitive button. Life got in the way. Jobs, my lack of a job on several occasions, recessions, moving, new houses, the usual excuses.
Yes. So how far do we get? Well, we have interviews from all of those people, some of them as short as 45 minutes, in Roger's case, just over 3 hours. We have had Chris Bucci. Is he here? Is Chris here today? Chris Bucci was nice enough to transcribe all of that, all those interviews, probably in excess of 35 hours. He transcribed them into Word for us, so we have the Word documentation on that. We have that, and we also have very limited technical ability when it comes to the website with YouTube and iTunes and things like that.
So what are we going to do? What will we do? Well, we want to get the videos out to the pinball community, and I think you'll find them interesting, though they're, you know, pretty static. It's the most basic documentary style. And we want the interviewees to be okay with releasing the videos, because we told them when we interview them they would get the final call on what goes out. And so we have figured out a way to do that. But what we haven't figured out is how to get the videos out to the mass audience.
So this is where we're going to ask for your help, okay? There's probably, everybody here is probably more technically competent on the internet than Don and I are. So we would like to find out from you, what can we do to get this out? Now, we have very simple requests. We just want to get it out in such a way that maybe we can make a couple of bucks on this. We only have probably only have between $4,000 and $8,000 invested in the date. So we just get a couple of dollars. We don't have to break even.
Or stop losing money, I guess.
Yeah. And the other thing is that we absolutely don't want people to be putting these on DVDs and selling them on eBay. That's not acceptable.
That's just rude.
So, because we promised we would not be doing that to the people that we interviewed. So,
okay, what have we tried so far? Rejected by Steve Jobs' empire. We thought we'd go to iTunes and put these up on iTunes. Forget about it. You are not going to get something like this up on iTunes. No way. YouTube, it's a mess. And throw it out there? Well, maybe if we have to. Podcasts, that's a possibility. Like I said, my technical ability is limited. I'm told that there is pornography on the internet, but I have not been able to find it yet. Something else? We hope one of you brilliant old or young minds can come up with something, because we don't have a bunch of time to burn. We're not going to be can't put 100 hours into this thing every week. That's just time we don't have.
So how to contact us? You can see us at after the seminar today. We'll be around for the next couple of days. Or we'd be happy if you can remember to just, as easy as pinballvideos2012@gmail.com, interview us with your idea so we could possibly use that idea. We'll be happy to give you the credit for the idea or helping us so we can distribute these interviews in a very correct way.
So, pinballvideos2012@gmail.com. You got an idea? Just drop us a line. That simple. We just give a shout out to our friend Gavin Miller. Anybody who ever needs a game fixed and you're looking for the top tech in the Northern Illinois area, Gavin Miller is your man. We're giving him a shout out because we've cut Gavin out of the Stump the Tech thing. Is Gavin here today?
No,
setting stuff up? Good, put him to work. Okay, now we'll show you a couple samples of what we're talking about on the videos.
We're going to have to get the lights down for this.
Who's our lighting person? Can we get the lights down a little bit? Is anybody qualified to hit the light control? We don't even know where it is. Yeah. I saw people fooling over there. Yeah, push a button or two. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
What format are these videos? Digital
What format are these videos in digital files?
Okay, the raw. Sorry, the where the question was, what kind of format are these in? They originally came in as I can bring them into any format. They came out of the raw originally in what is that? MP? No, they're not MP3 files. Pardon?
MPEG.
AVIs. They originally came off of the camera in AVI format. I have an Apple computer that allows me to put them in any format I want. I've been struggling with Mr. Gates's computers, okay, to be able to manipulate the videos the way I want, so I've had to go to Steven Jobs, unfortunately. We're going to start some of these off. Okay, the first one is, maybe I'll just preface a little bit by explaining, when they built the game TZ, there was a thought of having something called a ball toss, and you'll see Ted Estes, who was their software and electronics man on this particular game, came up with the idea, along with a few others, of moving, actually bouncing the ball back and forth as it was done on Shadow, doing it on Twilight Zone. And by the way, a couple of things. If you see Ted, he's got the only game in the world that does this, and no, it's not for sale, and no, he won't give you the modifications of the core chips, or he won't give you drawings or anything, so don't even ask
him. This is what the third magnet was all about. 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, my God, it didn't work.
Okay. Now, I don't want to put words in Pat's mouth, but the original idea, as I recall, on having the magnets was just sort of having some kind of entity in the game blocking your shots. You'd shoot it, and then it sometimes would grab it. That's why there were two magnets on the right-hand side, because he was worried with a real fast shot there wouldn't be time to grab the ball on the first magnet. So you had the second one as backup, you know, be like, okay, I've slowed it down, and then we'll grab it on the second. As it turned out, we can react fast enough and grab it. So Larry came up with the idea of the ball tossing, and the way it works is once you have the ball on the magnet, you release it for a small amount of time, so it's a little bit away, and then you pulse the magnet so that now the ball is pulled back, but then you have to make sure you turn it off so that it continues on around. It's very similar to the way that the MagnaFlip works on the little play field, on the power play field.
In Shadow, is that the same thing?
Right. Well, what happened in Twilight Zone was Larry was able to make it work on his game, which was our Whitewood, and then we tried it on my game, and it didn't work. And so we would readjust timing values and stuff. It would work on my game. And it became evident that the problem was that the location of the opto to the magnet was critical, because we were basing timing on has the ball rolled away or not, and there's no exact relation between the two. One's screwed to a bracket underside the play field, the other one's mounted to the ball guide on the top, and they move around enough that there's a lot of variation between games. Larry actually entertained the idea of putting in learning code, much like he put in learning code for things flips.
Right.
To learn how to actually toss the ball, but that was overly ambitious. We didn't have the time.
You can tell after a while it starts changing. You know, the magnet warms up or something, so it doesn't always fire accurately. We're almost done.
Yeah. Power ball and a blue power ball.
Yeah.
And you can see that the blue's pretty dark.
Right.
And Twilight Zone has a pretty dark play field.
Yes.
If you try playing with the blue Powerball, it disappears. It's not very much fun. So that's why we ended up going with white. And those are the only two choices in terms of colors, because of the manufacturing of the ceramic.
Okay.
This is down in Bloomington at Gene Cunningham's estate, where our somewhat playable Wizard Blocks and Playboy. Pinball 2000. What's that?
5, 4.
Okay.
That's why there's no bar on it, so you can do that.
Yeah.
On incomplete shots, there were paper towels stuck into holes so that the ball would not go and be lost. See the rotating covers on the what look like flashes. They are incredibly cool.
And Mark's ball is done.
Mark, you want to play this?
Yeah.
All right, we're going for it.
You probably don't know, but all of the outholes were covered at this point. That's why it lasts so long.
Again, what could have been if Williams had not bailed on Pinball 2000? Those would have been the next two games.
Roger, you'll probably remember this episode.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Sharpshooter 2.
I'm now looking more like Tom Selleck. You know, it's a redo. Demand for Sharpshooter was such that Wendell McAdams gave me a call. We made some changes and modifications, and actually this was placed in the Smithsonian Institute on permanent display as being one of the quintessential games of the era, pinball-wise. I think it was placed in with Pac-Man. I think there was another sit-down video game and a jukebox, but it's one of my special games. Like it. Don't like the artwork as much as the original, but that's just personal preference.
Okay.
Flash. Well, boys and girls.
Circuit breaker.
Bulbs on.
At that point, Roger's circuit breaker for the whole basement went out, and we lost all power. Just the little things that happen during interviews sometimes.
And I remember, I mean, one of my clearest memories of my whole time at Williams was sitting there with Eugene Jarvis playing Firepower for the first time. And I killed it. They're showing me the game, and you know, first you get down the targets, and you go here, and you go there, and I just boom, 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 and then lock the third ball, and the game goes into its thing and gives the effect and kicks out the balls. And it was just amazing. I mean, I was blown away.
Roger, was he the vice president at the end? Or what, executive director or what?
I know that he was heading up game design for pinball.
He came, pardon?
He was vice president for a little while.
Was he? Okay. Larry was our first interviewee. We had to get to talk to somebody and get into his game room, as you can probably see the background. We do have a little video in his background, I'm sorry, in the back, his game room in his basement. Larry was there for, I think he got there, Roger, remember, 1980? Yeah. Late 70s, and he worked with Eugene Jarvis, of course, on the video, and he was involved heavily with the engineering and the designing, and I believe he wrote the code, wrote all the initial code for the WPC system, which is, and he wrote a manual that they gave the new employees to read, so when they had to program the games. He wrote the whole manual on top of that and did some of the initial sound effects for the games, right, Roger? So, very, very talented MIT graduate, and I don't mean the Milwaukee Institute of Technology either.
Fantastic guy, very gracious. We got him on a Friday after a long week at work, and he stuck with it and gave us a great interview.
And you don't know this, but this is about 1 o'clock in the morning. So, if you'd like to see, it's about 3-4 minutes long, if you'd like to see his game room, somebody like that.
2, 1, 0, -1. Click it again.
I gotta be patient here.
Their shooting is that you turn into them and shoot, which I tried to do incorrectly just now.
The Addams Family just passed up right there is the gold version, and it's number two.
Jordan is one of a kind, or one of four of a kind, or five of a kind.
Larry, you want to tell us about this Michael Jordan? Because most people have obviously never seen it.
Right, if you look at it carefully, you'll recognize the layout's Lethal Weapon 3. And the rules are the same as Lethal Weapon 3. But the dot matrix, they did a lot of customization for the Bulls and Michael Jordan, as well as new sound and new art. Joe Kamenko and the Data East crew did this for the Michael Jordan Foundation. They were having a charity benefit, and they brought one of these to auction off, which went for, I think, something like $30,000. And the bidding went so high, they made a second one for the runner-up so that they could get an additional contribution. And Joe one day backed up a truck and brought it down here as a birthday present for me. And I believe there were five or six of them made. I think Lonnie Rapp has one. Joe may have one, the two that were auctioned off, and there may be one more.
And, of course, Tech from Mars that you spoke about before.
One of my very favorite games.
I see that has the buy-in button.
The cabinet does because that's a prototype, but the game never did.
Right.
The feature was in the game, and in the release software, you can't turn it on.
Any other differences because this is a prototype?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, it didn't, did it have art on the back, or did I put that in? I think Brian got that for me. You know, Brian and Lyman together, what a great team. Mm-hmm. As far as rules and balance and detail, Lyman is a phenomenal developer and programmer. And, you know, this game and Medieval Madness mm-hmm. were the two that they teamed up. Both of which were incredible, and both of which were cut way too short.
Mm-hmm. I believe the question you asked was he was talking about his game was a prototype game? I don't know. Roger, do you know? Larry has a prototype Attack from Mars in his basement. It has one of the features is removed on it. It's in a prototype design. Do you know which it is? Okay.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Track him down.
So I don't know if anybody knows or you know who Gene Cunningham is. He has a collection, I'm not sure anymore exactly, we usually have about 1,300 games down in Bloomington, Illinois, and he had bought in some of the assets from Williams. He bought some of the patents, he bought some of the parts, some of the artwork, I guess, Roger, I'm really not clear. He bought some of it, not all of it, but he bought some of the items, and he moved them down. Yes, Jay?
I think that's
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. It was the buy-in button. Thank you. Good one. We'll get a candy bar for you later. So we're going to run it. We're going to stop it early because basically after the first 5 or 6 seconds, we're walking through his warehouse, and I don't think you guys would want to just see all of his parts or anything like that. So, I don't know. Do you want to see what it looks like? I'm sorry. Okay.
It just means you have less time for giveaways or takeaways.
And everybody watch this tape. You see that computer there that's next to Gene's elbow right there in that vault that contains all of the source code for every Williams game ever made. Eat your heart out, guys. You'll never see it.
So can you believe that? It's on an AT computer in Gene's vault.
I was just guessing. Hi, Gene, I don't know this stuff.
That has a picture and stuff in it, too.
Okay. I have no... I'm just kidding.
Pardon?
Okay. That's a side art down through.
Yeah, I just...
Side art? Okay, Gene. No good gophers. Cabinet side art?
Don't make it.
Okay, thank you.
Remember, this is 2005.
There's Adam's Family, Creature, Indiana Jones.
Will you sell just one side?
A little problem was getting the right to do Indiana Jones.
$20,000
for the rights. Next time you talk to me in a week or so, I might tell you I bought it. There's not any profit. If I get $20,000 for it, I'd have to make thousands of them.
Here's one of your
brands. Where'd you find under there?
Funhouse.
Oh, really?
Right here, Gene.
I knew that.
Okay.
We ain't got very many, but that's not for sale.
Well, yeah, we were just saying.
We'll rerun it when we do the playfield.
Huh? Here's that Grand Lizard glass you were
talking
about.
Yeah, but there's one on the right. Oh, the right side. Over
here. Is that it? All right. Well, don't take it out. The more you handle them.
Well, that shouldn't be that way. Well, that's the paint side up.
Yeah.
Cyclone, huh? We got a whole case of that.
A whole case of that.
Cyclone.
Yeah, you know, here I am running.
Some of these up here are for shuffle puckers. Yep. There's a Grand Lizard right there.
Okay.
But see the guy's fighting with the bad omens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here's the glass, yeah.
Yeah, it's one over here, Tom.
There's cactus through here.
Looks like some screens there, Gene, on the floor.
Kiss.
How much are the side arts?
Which
I
one?
Mean, you know, like when you're they're available.
Is I don't know. That'd be Kim's pricing.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're coming down through here. Ramps, different thing, more side art. There's Kiss playfields, or not playfields, head glasses.
Okay. Over there is what don't you want me to film?
Huh?
Don't film that corner right there.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, no problem.
Unless you guarantee me you will not put it on the internet.
Well, I can guarantee it won't go on the internet.
Okay. The book you'll be able to put it in because I'll either have it resolved within.
Yeah, yeah, and the book, Gene, is yours. You know.
See, they're being a pain in the ass about that too. Mm-hmm. I have to pay for a license for that, and then I have to get Gene Simmons' written okay. Mm-hmm. And he's in the background. He's not even the head character, but he's the head of the thing. Okay, but, coming up through here.
Well, it's a good thing those rock stars don't have ego problems.
No. Mm-hmm. This is all different kinds of ramps.
Oh, yeah.
See if I can find something.
Notice Todd's hand was in the cookie jar.
Right here, like, was it? Oh, really? Yeah. No free samples. All these parts right through here would have made 20 more wizard blocks. I wanted to show you, they experimented with, if you got a minute, let me rummage here for a minute.
Right.
They experimented with making different colored rubbers. I've got silver ones and blue ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's see where the hell they put.
No patrons will be seated during the thrilling cardboard box scene.
Put it up.
You have a cell phone. I forgot to tell you about the punishment for cell phones. Karaoke. Get up. Sing Pinball Wizard.
Okay, Cameron Silver was a Williams employee. He came in just after they released Arabian Nights, and he was involved working with the Papadou team on a couple of their games. And we went to his place to talk to him. He's from Australia. Came over here for a job interview, and I guess he wouldn't leave.
Speaks great American.
Talk about Circus Voltaire.
All right, this game is the first one that was built with real parts. It was the first one with a screen play field, and it was built, I think it was April of 97. And production didn't actually start on Circus until October of 97, so it was literally the first one. This was the one I had in my office that I did all development on. And as far as differences go, it's basically looks like a sample game. You know, so the differences between us, you see here. I have the thin Ringmaster head on there. You know, it says tickle the Ringmaster rather than defeat the Ringmaster. It has the decal over the middle marble down here. And, you know, some of the inserts are different colors. Like, I think the juggler and the acrobat insert on the production play fields are actually white, not yellow. But other than that, it's pretty standard. You know, the game went through several changes during development, but once we got this stage, other than some rule changes, the playfield really didn't change that much at all.
Okay.
So this Attack from Mars belongs to Adam Ryan, who was one of the doc guys for a lot of the later WPC games. And this was actually a test game. This was a prototype that was built in our prototype lab at Williams, and it wasn't actually used for development, but it was on test in an arcade somewhere, you know, earning real money and getting test data. And as far as differences go, again, you know, a few little differences. I think some of the insert colors of the Stroke of Luck hole are a little bit different in production. What else? The Saucer Dome, I think, is green in production too. But other than that, you know, it's a fairly standard game. I mean, the text is a little bit easy to read on production playfields. There's like a white background behind the text of the blue inserts and the cities, and that's about it.
Okay, let's take a look at Scared Stiff here.
Scared Stiff, same thing. This was a test game, and this was also out on location. This may have just been at the bottom of the stairs, but either way, it's certainly not home use only. It's had a lot of plays. It's been completely shopped and fixed up though, and this has all of the goodies. This has the bony flippers, you know, with the aged and details and glow-in-the-dark bones on the flippers and all around the ramp, and the claws as well. It has... I added the skull eyes, which is just, you know, the Robert Winter kit, which is great. Everyone go out and buy it. So, what else? And again, I think that's pretty much it as far as Scared Stiff goes. It doesn't have the kickback. None of the real games have kickbacks, obviously. And so far this game is still working with no problems, so that's nice. And then Whitewater is just a Japanese re-import, so basically it's a production game.
Okay.
So, like I said, Whitewater's always been my favorite game, so I picked one up fairly soon after I came to Chicago.
Do we want to do any more? You've got to have it. Well, let's ask the audience.
All right, ask them. Okay. We got a little bit more in video, or shall we adjourn to the trivia section? What do you say? Trivia?
Video.
Okay, it's clearly video.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mark Ritchie did Indiana Jones, Fish Tales.
Okay, originally these were stainless steel, these ball guides on the tilt ramp, tilt playfield. And in the middle we had the smaller diameter post, 7/16 diameter. Point here. And we fabricated stainless steel caps and lane dividers because we didn't have them in that size then, so you had to make do with what we had.
I'm going to stop it for a second, Don. You want to get out your pointer? If you take a look at the board setup there, you're going to say that's not WPC board system. And the reason that isn't is but this is a prototype board system. It was done for the DCS sound system, okay? So... He had this in his basement. This was their prototype. There's additional boards, additional cables. You can see there's a lot of interesting wiring situations there that they did for the DCS system. So this was the prototype that Williams had.
And eventually we changed to injection molded plastic, which saved everybody lots of money, and it was a happier world after that. That's his
opinion. Mark, I'm going to talk a little bit about the... I'm going to zoom in up on that board.
Well, this is one of the first versions of the DCS soundboard cluster, you might call it. There were a couple levels of boards here at the time. We physically didn't have room to mount what we thought we needed at that time. A lot of the stuff got consolidated into one chip instead of... All the stuff you see here stacked. There are dip switches in here. There's several things going on. Very much a prototype. That's what I know about that.
Okay. Okay, so this is obviously, this is your personal one of the prototypes.
One of 12.
One of 12 prototypes. Okay, and then the other game we got over here. Can we take a look at...
Fishtails.
Is this one of the prototypes also?
Yes, it is. Actually, no, I take that back. This is a production model.
With a very fancy coin door.
I did not get one of the first 12 on this. I don't recall why, but I went ahead and had a few of the parts plated on my own just to have something special. So, plated hand protector, plated front door, plated legs, brass plated. Nothing really special about this game other than it's mine, and we'll probably never leave with it.
Mark's personal fishtails.
Do you know what
it's brass plated, correct, Mark? Okay.
So John Yusey was one of the artists that worked at Williams. Did what? Adam's Family, Twilight Zone. Tons of games. Worked primarily with Pat Lawler's team, and they worked together as a team. And I'm sorry, Roger, what did you say? There's just tons of games that John's done, and then he went on to do some artwork for Stern, Roller Coaster Tycoon. So... Mr. Gottlieb said that, want to repeat that loud so they can hear it?
I said, I think John Yowski did all of Gat's games except for Bonsai Run and Third Shape. Tim Elliott did Third Shape.
Okay. So here is his game room.
Okay, we're taping right now. We're in John Yowski's basement. We're going to take a look at his collection and some of his artwork on the side. So, John, you want to point this game out to our viewers?
Medieval Madness. I worked on this with Greg Freres, who really was the main artist on this game. I just came in and I worked on the side cabinet and the back glass. And then Greg did the play field and everything else involved. He was also like the art director on the project. This particular game right here, as far as I know, it's got to be a prototype game because it had been out on test. And when I got at the coin door still is not fixed. But I don't know much about it. I don't know where it was or anything. They usually, when they got it back at the factory, they'd shop them out and clean them up for me and fix anything that was busted. So that's it. It's a good game.
John's basement.
The other half of my basement. Funhouse. This is actually the third pinball machine I owned. Police Force, Whirlwind, and then Funhouse is number three. And so I've had it ever since then, back in the 80s, and had it chopped out a couple of years ago. Kerry Stairs came over and actually made some new parts that were corroded. He had to replace some things, but it's working really, I think it's working right now. I haven't had it on for a while. This game, I'll give it to my kid Charlie, who is the model for Rudy. This will become his game when he's old enough that I trust him with it. Right now he's like living in a dorm at college, so it's here for safekeeping till he gets it.
What's this thing over here? It's a driving game.
Cruisin' World, I worked with Eugene Jarvis on this particular game. There were a series of three, as you know, Cruisin' USA, Cruisin' World, and then Cruisin' Exotica. And this was the second in the series. I did have a Cruisin' Exotica. It never made it out of the garage because I just didn't have enough room for it. So we sold it almost immediately to Kerry Stairs, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
You have to be careful where when you're in the business. You can't just sell the games to anyone. You know, obviously you don't want to sell it to someone that's going to compete with Midway. So Gary had like a dentist or a doctor or someone that was wanted one of these games for his home, and he was the middleman on the
art studio right now. John, you want us to walk through your studio, please?
Absolutely. Spent a lot of time down here. This is where I do all my sketching now, but this is where I work, period, you know, before digital came along. Did all my drawing here. Have a big, you can't see it now, don't go over there.
Sorry, guys, can't see that.
There's a big drafting table over there for doing play fields and things, and paints. A huge storage area is back here for anything I might need. And then tons of books and things in the back room here for reference. But I really don't paint anymore, so my water, this is where I kept my water. And this bowl is dried up probably 15 times since I did the last painting. Now it's all done over there in the modern part. Work on a Macintosh or really a PC, both platforms, just depending. Excuse me. And when you're working in game design, where you're working with designers and engineers that work with CAD programs, everything just interfaces better with PCs. So they usually email things over here to the PC. All the slot stuff is PC.
And of course,
do my painting on a Macintosh show now on a G5.
And we got an old computer in a corner over there, huh? Up on the top.
That's a G3. And okay. I got a SCSI scanner here. So the SCSI doesn't like any of that stuff. It doesn't like it at all. Or I should say they don't like it. So the SCSI is like, kind of stays over here in this little lonely corner. It's only turned on to scan. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
We saw most of Ted Estes' game room. So we're going to skip that. And we're going to switch over and clear out our basements a little bit. Now this year, instead of choosing pinball or music, we're going to alternate because we told you we're lazy. There you go. Okay, the tickets.
So we're going to start drawing tickets. Do you have the bucket? Okay. Oh, you didn't get one?
Get this man a ticket. Anybody who doesn't have tickets. David up here, a couple here, a couple there. All right. We got quite a few people without tickets. Keep your hand up.
Would you do the honors for us, please?
Rob Burke is good at this. You want a microphone?
178.
Okay, anybody got 178?
All right. There are going to be some duds, Rob.
1-1-1. Right front here.
All right. Get the clicker. In 1992, the Best Technical Achievement Award from the AMOA went to the Supercharger in Getaway or Thing Flips in Adam's Family?
Thing Flips.
Answer is Thing Flips.
Okay, head on over.
You can choose any item off our lovely gift table.
Number, next name?
153.
153.
See if there's anyone else.
They just walked in.
186.
186, you? Okay.
Ready? Okay. Eric Clapton played guitar on Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff. True or false? True
or false? You can ask for help. False?
False? Yes or no?
Okay.
187.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I thought you got the answer.
All right. Go ahead. Pick something out. You win.
Okay. 187? Next.
093.
093?
Yeah, No, you can pick up pinball. Pinball stuff or candy, whatever you like. Pinball stuff or candy.
113. Okay, and the question is, what kind of car was Steve Ritchie driving when he was stopped by the police in California for speeding at 147 miles an hour? This event was the inspiration for the game High Speed. Was he driving a Porsche 928 or a Corvette? You're right, it's a Porsche.
Porsche 928.
Next.
140.
140? Okay.
What is the name of the band Keith Richards formed in the 80s? Is it called the Rolling Stones or the Expensive Winos? 80s, buddy.
Come on up for
a candy. Come on for a piece of candy.
Come on for candy.
134. Okay. Funhouse was based on a funhouse at the Riverview Amusement Park across from the Williams Factory in Chicago. Was the name of the funhouse Aladdin's Castle or Spook House? He says Spook House. It was Aladdin's Castle. You get candy.
Come on up for candy.
174. 110.
All right, 110. What does ACDC mean? Australian Children / Dingo Chow? Or alternating current, direct current? Correct, alternating current, direct current.
160.
Yep.
Next one, right?
167.
Come on.
104.
Wow.
104, yep.
104.
What person's known for the game design did the artwork for Game Plan's Global Warfare? John Trudeau or Roger Sharp? And Roger, no hints. Oh, he's not.
We left.
Okay.
Answer? Trudeau, correct. Come up to the table and pick out your pinball prize.
158.
158.
164.
Okay.
All right.
Next word.
The band Kansas is actually from Missouri. True or false?
False.
That's false. You win a pinball part.
137.
What two games did Steve Kordick... What?
You got a guy? Okay.
I'm sorry. We have a guy?
All right. Go.
Go ahead.
What two games did Steve Kordick have in his basement? Space Mission and Little Chef... I'm sorry, Chief? Or Indiana Jones and Jokers?
We have a winner.
177.
All right, Jay. Peter Frampton, whose career probably was before you were born, was once a member of this band, the Small Faces or Humble Pie? Humble Pie. Correct. Now we can take some of our pinball junk and put it in your basement.
147. 147.
All right. On the Addams Family Translite Art, what body part of Angelica Houston was redone numerous times? Her waist or her nose?
Nose.
Nose knows it.
205.
Okay, young lady.
Okay.
Sure. In the 60s, Ted Nugent and Bruce Springsteen played together in a band called Asbury Dukes. True or false?
False. You are correct. Come on up and get a prize.
173.
Okay, young lady. The first model of the talking head that later became Rudy in Funhouse was made from a talking toy from Toys R Us. Was it Big Bird or Grouch, Oscar the Grouch? Which one?
Okay. Unclear on the concept, perhaps. Anyway, since you all want to know, it was Big Bird.
197.
197.
197?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The band Jethro Tull is named after the 18th century inventor of the seed drill, or the lead singer slash flute player Jethro Tull. He said seed drill. Oh, I'm sorry. It's seed drill. Come on up, get some junk.
095. Which, okay, well, I'm sorry. Who do we have, 095?
101.
101? Okay, sir.
Is that somebody?
Which one of these three singers did not fire their band? Meatloaf, Steve Perry of Journey, or Dennis DeYoung of Styx? So two of them did fire their band. Which one didn't?
Think dinner.
Are you hungry?
What's for dinner? You hungry?
All right.
Hey.
096. Back there? Okay.
We already told you the answer to this one.
Oh,
which interview went the longest? Roger Sharp or Larry DeMar?
Let's see if you're paying attention.
Roger Sharp, you are correct, sir.
162.
Okay, go ahead. Oh. Got one?
Where is... You know, we don't care about getting the tickets back, folks. But you got to answer the question, you see. All right. Okay, here's your question. Where is the House of the Rising Sun? Chicago or New Orleans? New Orleans. I think we might want to let the guy who had the ticket answer. But if you want to shout out answers, you know, we really don't care. I think New Orleans is correct.
114.
Okay, go ahead. Which interview played the guitar after the interview, Mark Ritchie or Steve Ritchie?
Said Mark.
And
Steve.
Come on up for a candy bar. Okay, which one of these famous guitar players did not play in the Yardbirds? Jimmy Page, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, or Jeff Beck?
Jeff Beck.
Oh.
201. 156.
156. Dr. Scott, during which interview, were the interviewers, both engineers, completely lost technically? Was it Ted Estes or Larry DeMar?
I'll say Ted.
He says Ted, we say Ted.
169. Bring it back.
Which game was produced in a higher quantity? Tommy or Corvette? Tommy? Corvette. You get candy. Okay. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of, Indiana Jones or Fishtails? He says Fishtails. We say Fishtails. You win.
133. 136.
Huh?
133. Say that. You got it.
Aren't just the legs.
133.
What do you say?
Take as many as you like.
Yeah, oh. Oh, the legs?
No, legs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Legs, go
whatever
ahead.
You want.
Okay. 133. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of? Indiana Jones or Getaway?
Getaway.
You win.
136. 183.
All right.
Give me the next question.
I did.
Okay. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of, Getaway or Fishtails?
Correct.
Good guess. 204.
Okay. Which was the first game that Ted Estes owned, Black Knight or Firepower?
Black Knight.
Correct. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of, Indiana Jones or Star Trek The Next Generation? Indiana Jones? You're right.
Indiana Jones. All right, he gets the next question. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of, Jackbot or Johnny Mnemonic?
Johnny Mnemonic.
He says Johnny Mnemonic. We say Johnny Mnemonic.
145. That guy deserves a candy bar, too, because he was very attentive.
All right. But definitely getting at least two candy bars. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of, Johnny Mnemonic or Circus Voltaire? Johnny Mnemonic.
So you get candy
he gets candy bar and
187. 190. 188.
Way in the back. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of? NBA Fast Break or Attack from Mars?
Fast Break.
Right here. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of? NBA Fast Break or Scared Stiff? NBA Fast Break. Candy. You get candy.
105. 119.
Got it?
Here we go.
Okay, which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of? Congo or Championship Pub? Congo.
Sorry, Congo.
Come on up for a candy bar.
You get candy.
129. Right.
Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of, Junkyard or Monster Bash?
He says Junkyard. We say, you can't tell. Monster Bash.
Ah, oh, candy bar. Okay.
Okay. Which game did Williams produce a higher quantity of, The Shadow or Monster Bash? The Shadow.
Candy bar. 118.
All right.
Which game was produced in a higher quantity? Tales from the Crypt or Star Wars Episode One?
He says Tales from the Crypt. We say Star Wars Episode One.
121.
Candy bar. Don't listen to the guy next to you.
121.
Which game is produced in a higher quantity? Lethal Weapon 3, okay, or Funhouse?
Funhouse. Winner, 168.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Or candy bar dinner.
One in the back.
Where?
Got a guy? In the back, okay.
Okay.
Which game was produced in a higher quantity? Okay. Toten or... Royal Rumble, WWF.
Toten, he says. No!
Candy bar, 091. 092. 149. 097.
Oh, we got him. Okay. Which game was produced in a higher quantity, Jurassic Park or World Cup Soccer? We encourage cheating.
You can ask the crowd.
We encourage guessing. Crowd, what do you say? Jurassic Park, she says. Jurassic Park.
152.
Which game was produced in a higher quantity, Judge Dredd or Doctor Who?
He says Dread, we say Doctor.
Candy bar, 180.
All right. Which game was produced in a higher quantity, Diner or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? He says Diner, we say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
207.
Whoops. Hey, what the hell? You're going to answer without a question.
Do we get the... We got it. Okay. Which game was produced in a higher quantity? Last Action Hero or Corvette? Try Corvette, yeah, because I think the next one will be a question, yeah? All right, that's like Jeopardy. You win?
143. 196.
Right here.
Which game was produced in higher quantity, Hook or
Demo
Man?
He says Hook, we say Demolition Man. Candy bar.
He's over there.
181.
Here we go, way back.
Okay, Phoebe, is that you? Okay, you knew who Larry DeMar is, right? Okay, Larry DeMar was at one time the vice president of Williams, okay? Now, would he have a Capcom game in his basement or not?
She says false. We say false. You win.
94. 146. 202.
Does John Yawsey have a game in his basement that he was not the artist for? True or false? False.
126.
Get a candy bar. You can have whatever you want, baby. Okay. Oh, this is too easy. All right. Who's our question? Anybody? Right there? Okay. Who do not let us photograph their studio/workshop? John Yawsey or Mark Ritchie? You sure? Oh.
159.
159. Here we go. Tom Taylor. How many Data East games does Larry DeMar have in his game room? One or two?
One.
He says one. We say two.
131. 140. Oh, 131.
Okay, here we go in the back. Which person bought a TZ mod many years ago but has not installed it on their game? Was it Larry? Or Pat Lawler? Larry DeMar, you win.
190.
Nope. We're out of questions, and we're out of time.
All right.
But thanks, everybody. We appreciate your interest.
Oh, hold on. All of the stuff that's over there that's left is for anybody that wants it. They can have it. Plus, we have a bags of candy here that we were going to give out.
You're all too smart.